And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jen Hillman.
Hey, everybody.
And special guest here on our Zoom camera, the very funny Mr. Jeff Bodart.
Hey, what's going on?
An accomplished artist, as we just saw some works.
yeah.
That was very nice. You know, it's good to be talented in a lot of different things, right? I mean, that you ever like write, you ever drawing somebody, maybe a nude or something, and then you came across a funny joke or a premise?
talk about come across. There's several nudes floating around in this house. I don't want to brag, but there's yeah. been so many commissions for nudes.
I didn't know cats and dogs could talk.
Oh, I've had some dogs.
Who hasn't?
They just stand right over there. I just draw them.
Well, welcome to the show, buddy. The last time you and I saw each other was we were in the road together, I think, doing that Diamond.
Yeah.
Penguins run, and which I haven't done since, I don't believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take that personally.
No. I know why. I think it was a difference of ideology and Facebook posts, the kind of combination of a few things like that.
Oh, you guys had one of those?
No, I never had any into with the guy who books it, but I think he probably saw my post and said, I don't want to be this guy's friend on Facebook anymore. And then, you know, and then eventually it just didn't respond to my emails. I mean, the last time I was there, I worked with you, Jeff. Did I suck? Did I eat a dick?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You did very well. Yes, you
news
eat
to
chips.
Me. Hold on, I'm quitting you, this shit. I'm out of here.
Yeah. You were the worst. No, you were great, man.
You were.
I mean, there was a guy I worked with years ago that, I mean, he was the worst. But you were certainly not that.
Oh, thank you. What is that like? What is that like when you work with somebody that like that's hard, you know, like especially when that happens, usually after the shows people will come up and even say shit, you know, sometimes to you, you know, like, you know, especially if the, let's say the headliner sucks and you did as well as a feature does well, right? Or the feature mm-hmm. sucks, you know, it's weird, right? I mean, people come up to you and like, whoa, what the heck was this, Make-A-Wish night or something? Who the fuck, how'd that guy get stage time?
Yeah, sometimes it's awkward when, like, if I'm featuring over the years, oh, my God, we love you. And, like, they say it right in front of the headliner. I'm like, oh, I mean, thanks, but kind of a dick move on your part. I worked years ago, I had, you know, Corey Forrester. He's, he and his buddies wrote a book or something. I can't remember. It's something about liberal rednecks coming out of the South. I don't know. It's funny. He's a funny guy. And I had him open for me. And I don't remember the last time I had to work that hard. It was hard work.
Yeah.
Following him. And he had a couple of people come out, oh my God, you were great. Well, it was well deserved. He was great. I mean, I you know, it was like work for me sometimes, but the guy's good.
That's the challenge.
But it is kind of a rude thing.
I mean, listen, that's why, you know, anybody just can't call themselves a headliner. Because usually when they start doing that and then somebody comes up ahead of you and you're sitting there going, ah, oh, God, I got to, you know, I said I was a headliner. I guess I should be able to follow that or anything. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you work with somebody,
oh, yeah.
when when that happens and I've seen that, you know, I've had people, you know, that's embarrassing. Somebody goes up to somebody, hey, you were awesome. We loved you. And then they leave and you're standing there like, hey.
No, they go, oh, you were good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, that is the worst.
Oh, you were great.
And I've never gotten that, but I've witnessed it a lot. I don't want to brag any. I witnessed that
but
a lot.
You. Oh.
Yeah. At my home club, there's some local people that come out almost every week and they've seen me literally for damn near 20 years. And they say the same thing every time they see me. Now that they see me headline after the show, they go, getting better. Like, why don't you go fuck yourself? How about that? You know, I'm
getting better.
I'm really good. Like, I don't think they know what they're saying.
Well, that's funny you should say that because I've actually had a conversation with some local comics here about local showcasing. Like, you know, I always felt like I love doing local gigs because you don't have to travel. Like, we're about to talk about what I got to do tomorrow. But at the same time, you don't want to overexpose yourself unless you're turning over a hell of a lot of material. Because, a lot of these people that see you in the local clubs have seen you, you know, and it's not, not like you're doing a completely different 40 minutes, you know, or something like that every 6 months. You know, I mentioned that to some friends of mine. I'm like, hey, man, you do a lot of shows here, which is great, but you got to be careful. You're going to go overexposed unless you start writing new jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's a good pressure. I think that's a good thing because you, I'm the type of person, I need that pressure to write new stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I think a lot of comics, myself included, probably get a little lazy, you know, because we do the road so much. You're like, this stuff works. But then you're like, when you do your home club so much, you're like, oh shit, I better have some, at least, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of new stuff up front or something.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I got to work on a new album to come out. So I got a little extra pressure.
There you go. I know Jen and I were talking, because we did a show on Valentine's Day this weekend. And, but you're right. You know, you have to do, like, my whole big thing's now the Dry Bar special, you know, because I had an opportunity. Somebody reached out to me and said, I can get you on. I'm like, I don't have 25 minutes of stuff, I think, you know what I mean, I want to put up in that crowd right now, you know. I could do it because, you know, that's, like you said, this is the kick in the ass, that it's not going to take that much. To me, if you really just put your head together on it, clean comedy is very easy to write.
Absolutely.
What's hard to do is sell it. Like, in other words,
you
have to use so many different things about it. Like, one of the newer jokes I wrote that was clean and family clean, when you and I worked together, is my over 40 soccer bit, right? You could tell that, you could tell that anywhere, you know what I mean? And that's a simple joke, and, you know, it's just you know what I mean? It's not like you're a wordsmith, you know what I mean, to put this imagery together.
Yeah.
So, right.
No, I was just going to say, like, I don't think I'm that smart on stage. So I may not always have the cleverest stuff, but I can sell a bit. I can sell it real well.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I don't know. Sometimes writing clean, though, I think can be, it's harder. Like, you just have to be more observant, because things that irritate me probably irritate other people. So, like, I don't mean to take up all your time with this, but I was in the grocery store, saw a guy, old guy, walking around. I go, oh, I don't know what to do. And we're in the self-checkout, and he cuts in line. And I was like, oh, my God, you are going to burn in hell. If it were up to me, I'm banishing you to hell right now. Like, that's his thing. And he's up there, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm old. And then he gets up to the self-checkout, and he's flipping bottles around and everything like he's entertaining the rat pack. And he's hitting all kinds of, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's not confused.
They know when to play that card. I had one of those somewhat geriatric moments. I went to a new dermatologist, by the way. I got a little pre-cancer taken care of. A little bit. Yeah, it was no big deal. The lady's like, you have great skin. I'm like, well, you just had pre-cancer. It's like, oh, just everybody has that shit.
Right there on the Hitler.
Yeah. So my wife's driving her Jeep, and then we pull up. First thing is we pull up, and this woman in a car, I guess my wife didn't pull up far enough, and this woman, she gets out of the car, she looks in front of my wife's car, my Jeep, and she goes, ugh, like making a comment, like, you like, oh, you've got so much more room to park. And she was like a weebly wobbly woman, like, very, you know what I mean? She had that walk, and she was like, ugh. So oddly enough, she ends up walking into the dermatologist's office that I'm heading to. I'm like, oh, great, you know. Meanwhile, I was vocal. I wasn't quiet when she was said that. I go, honey, no, she's just concerned about how far away you parked. I'm not saying it, she's saying it. And then fucking, you know, don't kill the messenger. And then, of course, I get into, we're in the same place. The minute this woman goes up to the front desk, you know, where the receptionist is for the doctor's office, she was like, oh, she gives her a clipboard, all the paperwork bullshit. And she goes, you don't have tables? Well, I need tables. They're like, well, ma'am, that's why we give you a clipboard. She goes, I can't leave my purse on the floor. I need a table for my purse. And like, I'm like, no, fucking, from the minute I met this woman in the parking lot, Jesus, God. And then, of course, the comic came out, right? So then the lady goes, may I help you? The receptionist, I go, well, you know what? I would like a recliner chair, please. And I would really like it if you guys had a popcorn maker in here. you know, otherwise,
and then she's like, what are we, rural king?
And she goes, oh, he's being a smarty pants, huh? I was called the smarty pants, which I haven't been called in quite a long time.
Smart Alec.
Well, while we're talking about the road,
do you do passive aggressive things? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no, I listen. I love doing that because that's who the hell I am now. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the old fiduciary, the financial fiduciary in me would not be going around making comments like that. But you know what? At this point in my life, I do. I have to just speak out when shit is going on like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. A guy, and I know I don't mean to do this, but I have another grocery store story. A guy left his cart in my parking space as I'm pulling in, and he didn't, like, he just, like, in the middle of it. And I know I'm getting older, but I'm getting so, so grouchy. Like, get out, move the cart, pull in. The guy is picking up his groceries and his wife at the curb at the front or something. Some weird transaction taking place up front. So I move the cart out of the way, pull in, walk up to him with the cart, and I go, hey, I'm going to go ahead and put this up here since you couldn't do it. And then he looked at me like he was all like, what? Like that
right.
Whole guy. And I go, no, you left it back there.
See, that's the thing. If you take action, see, now you're the asshole. Nobody saw him put his cart. And now publicly you're the asshole who just like yelled at an old man who's helping his wife in the car.
Yeah.
I'm typically the asshole anyway.
Well, you know what? God bless you for doing that because every American should do that. I think we'd have a lot less confrontation if people just realized, because I mean, like you, I wasn't really being mean. You know, I wasn't like you know, joking around, like making a point. She's made all these requests, and can I help you? Yeah, I'd like a reclining chair, please. And you know, I'd like my wife to be a little more understanding when I look at other women. But you know, you can write all kinds of jokes there, and we're talking about, because this is the way it is, man. That's all I wake up thinking about is writing a goddamn new joke. That's all I'm thinking. I want to write a joke that everybody can laugh, from a kid to an old person. That's all I'm thinking about, right? And so I think that's a bit, right? I could tell that story. You could say, look, am I, you know, a few years ago, I didn't really think I was a comic. I was a financial guy, but now I think I'm a comic. Why? And then you tell these situation type things. Very funny shit.
Absolutely.
I asked you guys before the show, I'm going to be at the Looney Bin in Oklahoma City. I may be the only person leaving Florida to go to Oklahoma City. at this point, but you know what I mean? You, as a road comic, first of all, you think I'm okay? Because you mentioned about the de-icing chemical they put on the planes. I'm okay flying in, you think?
I think you'd be all right. I mean, if any place has generators and electricity, it's going to be an airport.
Yeah.
I don't know that your plane is taking off, or you could be. Is it a direct flight, or is there a layover in Dallas or somewhere?
No, I'm going to Houston. I'm getting to Houston.
You're not your... Show's canceled. Boom.
You know, but you ever get that tension? Like, I've been weirded out. You know, I've been like getting spooked. Like, I should just cancel. You know, then I'm not going to cancel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then I'm like, well, maybe I can drive. Yeah. Like, well, I'm not flying. I'm not driving. You know, my luck. I drove instead to save my life. Meanwhile, I got hit by a tractor trailer that slid down the interstate at 80 miles an hour.
No, you want to fly. You want to fly. You don't need to be driving this.
Yeah,
you want to fly, and don't worry, because your flight is not going to be taking off.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If anything, well, just get drunk.
I'm making this suggestion based on my Rent the Runway return items. So I returned items on Wednesday to Rent the Runway, and they still haven't received them, and they should have had them in 2 days.
Hmm.
So based on that, I'm assuming that your flight, when is this, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., flight to from Fort Lauderdale to Houston, yeah. In the morning.
And
they
haven't canceled it yet?
Nope.
All right, you're good. You might be stuck in
Houston. Yeah, you're fine.
You might be stuck in Houston
for
a while.
Thanks, guys. You're so refreshed.
Yeah, you might just have to rent a car and go from Houston to
Did you ever see planes, trains, and automobiles?
But that was Thanksgiving. He was trying to get home for Thanksgiving. This is completely different.
This is not the same. And well, I wouldn't mind that, because at least in planes, trains, and automobiles, they didn't plummet to their death. You know, from 30,000 feet.
It's
a quick death. It's a quick death.
Yeah. Speaking. thinking of quick deaths. Valentine's Day. We just had it. We did a show at a strip club. It wasn't in the strip club. It's a nice room next to it. But Valentine's Day. You're married, right, Jeff? You're a married fella.
No, God, no.
Okay. That's right.
I keep the front door open, hoping I can get a stray to come in, but that's about it.
No wonder you're so...
Come on in. It's warm, ladies.
No wonder you're so good at art. You got all that fucking free time.
So much free time.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I wasn't married, I'd be able to sculpt the fucking Mona Lisa. I don't know if that's possible. But I'd be the first one. That would be the uniqueness of my artiste, is that I would sculpt the Mona Lisa. And who wouldn't want to sculpt the Mona Lisa? But Jen's got a guy, and Valentine's Day has always been fucking weird. Like, my wife and I are at the point, we don't get each other. You know what I mean? Cards are nice. The Facebook reminded me a couple of years ago, I took her to a restaurant. I had like 2 dozen roses waiting at the table as a nice surprise. That was thoughtful. Wow. You know, but this year I brought her to a strip club, and made fun of her in front of like 15, 18 people.
That's every woman's dream right there.
I think so. I got her wet, right? I got her all excited.
Yeah, Jen, you got to take her on amateur night, what you got to do.
Yeah. We're going to the strip club at 12 p.m. We're going to have some free scrambled eggs. Jen, you were there. You had fun, right?
I had a great time. The food was actually, it was a beautiful room, and the food was really good. I'm sure you enjoyed your meal. And that's really, when you've been married as long as you guys have been married, that's all she really cares about. She doesn't care that it's at a strip club. She's like, did I get food? Did I get dessert? Did I have to pay?
Yeah.
And I think you checked off all the boxes.
I know she got a little nervous at the end of the night, because at the end of the show, most of the other comics are outside, and some of them looked like they were a little, you know. And,
I was wondering that. Were they? I don't know. I was wondering.
Listen, in all defense to my comedian friends, I did not make that determination. But my wife did. My wife's like, you know, they look a little cooked up. And I go, oh, I haven't done it in so long, I wouldn't be able to recognize it. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm not that good. I'm not that much of a – I don't have my coke dar anymore.
I'm really curious about the separate room.
Oh.
Were like velvet benches with little curtains?
I explain this? So basically you have a VIP room that's adjacent to the strip club, but there's this kind of, what would you have described that, Dougie? It was like a window, but like it was kind of fuzzy. It was like a mirror, but if you looked close enough, you could see strippers on stage.
On the outside wall, you know, they made it look like they had windows. But when you looked into the window, you said, hey, that my neighbor looks just like me, because there were mirrors, but they had like window frames around it, which is kind of cool, because, you know. And then the other side was the strip club, where the music was like,
yeah,
and a door would open every once in a while. You'd hear,
It feels like I was just right there. It feels like I was at strip club right now. That's how good you two are.
That's the beauty of our artistes. Yeah, but it was a separate room. In other words, it's almost like a VIP area where people get to go. It's a private, for the private members, you know. I think people have to spend at least 30, 50 grand at the club to be able to
get in there. And if they want to watch the game or something, it's a lounge, but you can bring one of the girls over there. I don't know. Who knows what goes on in there? But on Sunday nights when they do comedy, I think it's really I like it. It's really cool and loungy.
Do you have any bad Valentine's Day stories? You have like a really bad Valentine's Day story or something super? I'll tell you guys, if you guys think about it, when I was in college, I had a girl break up with me on Valentine's Day. And the reason why it wasn't that bad is because I had a steady girlfriend I was dating anyway. And I always told her that too when she broke up with me. I'm like, I'm going to be over you, honey. I actually have a first, you know, my Saturday night chick. Look at you. Yeah, but yeah, dude, I didn't look like this when I was in college. But I, she left me. But she actually just, this girl, the thing that was tough was that she was great in bed. I mean, we just got started into that part of it. A little bit, and she liked the freaky. You know what I mean? She was,
and
a little...
that's when she broke up with you.
Yeah, I guess, you know. I thought maybe she was testing me with the booty sex, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll do it. And then,
wow.
Hey, maybe I was just too big.
Maybe you were too big. I gotta help my buddy out. I bet you were too big.
Yeah, for her. Well, she was she was like an Ecuadorian chick. She was very thin. I think she may have been a boy. No, that's outside.
Ecuadorian? Did she have wings? So do you, when you get in bed, do you, you know, with a lady, do you go for the laugh sometimes? Like if you're, if she says something, asks something, do you go for the laugh? I go for the laugh.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I can't help it. I was in bed with a lady I was dating and she goes, what do you want to do now? And we were naked and everything. You know? And she's like, what do you want to do now? And I'm like, I'll be honest. I'm just happy to be here. I didn't really think I was going to get this far.
You want me to start calling the plays?
I've had some, do what now?
You want me to start calling the plays, hon?
Yeah. What do you want to do? I'm like, I just want to get in there. I don't care. Just I mean, I'm not getting on top, but I'll get in there, you know.
I want to get in there.
Whatever's good for you.
You sound like somebody's trying to break into Disney World. I just want to get in there.
I've never been to Disney World.
I just want the fast pass. Can I get a fast pass?
Hold on a second. It looks sounds like you.
I'll give you a fast pass.
Instead of a fast pass, you're getting some cat's ass right now.
I know that's my that's cat. I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to ignore it.
We didn't notice.
Get my ass. That's all he does. Look at my ass.
Yeah. I forgot what the question was or the point was. But you know, So here you are with this woman. Was this a Valentine's Day? Was this something that happened on Valentine's Day, or you know?
No, we were just dating for a little while, yeah. And it was just.
I
haven't really had a Valentine on Valentine's Day. I mean,
well, wait
ever?
A minute.
They never last that long.
Do you what break
a,
up
what,
with
what
them?
A first date? I think I've broken up with a few, but I think I have a little bit of a what do they call that? When women get too close, I'm like, I don't know. You know, what do they call that?
You have fear of commitment? Yeah. Do you have fear of commitment or intimacy issues?
I think it's a fear of commitment. Because I'm 43 and I've been alone for a long time and I've adapted well. Yeah. And
well, it's
my brother asked me one day, he goes, like, can you imagine yourself waking up to the same woman for years? I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. And that's a struggle. But if I had an emotional connection, I think, yes, obviously.
Well, it's interesting because the question is, can you see yourself waking up with the same woman for the rest of your life or waking up with no woman for the rest of your life?
Oh, that was deep.
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, that's the real decision because every guy's done that. Like, I'm gonna marry, like, my new joke is somebody says, why'd you marry your wife? I said, two words, cocaine boner. And
that's one of the clean ones.
That's the one I'm going to try on dry bar.
That was actually my band name in college.
That's going to be my opening joke on my dry bar special. I got a cocaine boner.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, because you go through that, you know, you're like, because it's always the grass is always greener concept, right? I mean, I can see what you say about living with it. Like, here's my biggest fear. Like, I've been with my wife over a quarter of a century in total. So I have not been. You know, I've got no game. Like if anything ever happened to me, like the only way, if my wife left me tomorrow, the only way that I would get anybody is just because of my joke, like who, you know, because of my sense of humor. And then if I am going to be in the bedroom, I am going to be joking the whole, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to turn into that guy. I'm not going to turn into like El Suave, you know, all of a sudden, you're so funny on stage, but now we're in the bed. You're like El Zorro, you know, no, I'm fucking, you know what I mean? El Zorro.
Did you say Gail Suave? Is that the lady version of Rico Suave? Are you Gail Suave?
You don't know Gail Suave? Gail Suave won the bronze.
No, I don't.
She won the bronze medal in the 400 meters. I don't know.
How did you not know that, Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff.
I don't know.
No wonder you're still single.
Yeah. Right, son of a bitch.
All right, so let's move to this cancel culture thing. Gina Carano, the Disney, everybody knows the story, the girl who was on Mandalorian. I saw season one, and I'll probably see season two now because I know at Looney Bins, if God gets me to the airport, at Looney Bin has, I think one of the places they have Disney maybe on their computer. So I might be able to watch it. Cancel culture, you know, no matter what side of the fence you're on, right, it's got to be a concern, right?
Yeah, I think that... Will Smith had a good point when he was talking about his son. What's his name? I can't remember that one. Jaden. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how, when I was your age, I would say something like paraphrasing. When I would say something dumb, I didn't have anybody cameras or anybody around me. But your problem is you put dumb stuff out is basically what he's saying. Like that's the thing. I mean, that's social media. it's given people a platform to be dumb. Like, stop, like, keep some shit to yourself, you know?
Right.
You don't need to.
But this is that's my point. I think we're so overly, I'm just overwhelmed that when people judge and not only just judge, but then be vindictive, like almost like I'm going to ruin things for you because you have done something wrong. Versus like, hey, understanding, you know, the host of The Bachelor,
yes.
You know, he comes.
Oh, no, wait, she didn't say anything.
Hold on,
Dougie.
A second.
I'm an expert on this. She.
Let me set up. Let me. So, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, like you just said, it's only the word we're saying at every moment and every time where it's being expressed, which you may not want. You know, it's just like as a comic, you don't want every new joke you're trying to tell be heard by the whole world at once. You're doing this with a select group of people just to get a reaction. You know, you're not saying this isn't deep in part of my brain and this is how I feel and this is the way I wake up every morning and this predicates my decision process. This is just a throwing out a thought or feeling. You know what I mean? There was a story somebody shared a story on Facebook about a preacher or somebody, a pastor in Miami, who was saying that the vaccine was a tool of the Antichrist, right? So it's silly, right, as it is. So I wrote a post. I go, here's a thought. How do you know it isn't? Like, in other words, we can all, whatever your faith is or anything like that, is there any proof that it isn't that? You know what I mean?
I mean, they could ask the scientists, are you the Antichrist? And if they say no, you're probably good.
Well, no, the scientists isn't the Antichrist. They're the pawn of it. In other words, if the Antichrist exists, right, it's a wielding of power. Like, if you believe in that concept, that means it's not just, you know, the Antichrist pops up and is like a gremlin that keeps popping up and fucking with the world. It's a movement. It's like something that's taken, you know, a following kind of thing. But my point simply was, is there any proof that it isn't? In other words, if somebody thinks that, as long as they're not taking money and trying to tell them, you know what I mean? All the other kind of horseshit. But just, mm-hmm. just because somebody thinks that, it's who are you to tell them that they're wrong? In other words, hold on a second. Then that person should not take the vaccine. Don't take if you fucking think that, don't take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Don't take it. And don't tell me this shit about, I don't want you to infect me. No, motherfucker, then you take it. If you take the vaccine, you don't have to worry about any fucking asshole like that infecting you, right? So my point, mm-hmm. it's very mm-hmm. simple. People just jump on. Now, regarding the story, from what I understand, you know, she said, made a comment, and all this guy, the host, wanted to say was, let her speak. Let her tell her what she meant. Let her say, maybe she can say grace or what it was and maybe explain it. And he got thrown to the fucking wolves. For being understanding and thoughtful and potentially, you know, not quick to judge.
No, he made a great point. She didn't say anything. She, a picture of her, to what you were saying, one of you said about Will Smith. There's a picture of her. She went to a Southern Georgia college. Okay, so she went to college in Georgia. And there's a picture of her and her sorority sisters doing a Southern Belle formal. Okay. And so they're dressed in these beautiful plantation dresses, which is part of Southern culture. Follow me here. Okay. I'm not pro-slave. I'm not, just follow me here, but it is Southern culture. Okay. We don't have them dressed up as Southern belles and the men are dressed up as plantation owners and Black people serving them. There's it's just a formal at a Georgia Southern college and they're dressed up. It was from 2018. So whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. At the time she was participating in this event.
Right.
Chris Harrison was saying to the woman on E or Extra, whatever, who used to be on the Black Bachelor, was it okay in 2018 and it's just not okay now? Which it's not cancel him off a Bachelor. It's like, that's a really good conversation to have. It's not, you know, it's not, no, oh my God, Chris Harrison is a racist. Clearly Chris Harrison is not a racist, nor do I find, I personally don't find the comment to be a microaggression. It's just,
well, it even went a little deeper. She supposedly had some other social media comments about an interracial couple or somebody who's dating a Black guy, and she made some comments about it. And even with that, everybody, even if that, an expression of that is their expression. You know what I mean? If my mom wanted me to marry a Spanish woman, you know what I mean? In a sense, that's racist, but is it evil? You know what I mean? It's like,
no.
You know what I mean? It's just a wish. That's the point. Are we going a little too far on this judging thing? You know what I mean?
I think it's a case by case basis, don't you think? I mean, you kind of have to examine each one, but like if what's the Mandalorian lady's name?
Gina Carano.
Now, didn't she say that she didn't believe in the 3 million Jews that were? Is that the comment she made?
I don't believe so. The only thing I read was that she made a reference to the Hitler thing and how the demonization of a whole group of people for the way they believe. Like, in other words, I think it was a relation to, like, if you're going to get mad at anybody who voted for Trump, if that's your criteria for basically saying this person is evil and wrong and doesn't need to have their point ever heard again simply because of this association with Trump, then that's basically the same in that way of being labeled with the hill, you know, that. And I understand.
Right.
I get the comparison. And who the fuck? Here's the thing about one side. Oh, we got to hear about the Hitler reference for 4 years, you know, for every little thing. So to me, that's the hypocrisy of it, which is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, one side could say all they want to say about something anytime they want, and now somebody just expresses, oh, let's make some peace with this. Let's try to understand why this person may have said it. Whoa, you're out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very different.
I personally find the Hitler comparison, the use of Hitler and Nazi over the past 4 years, I find that comparison really offensive. It makes me and over the 4 years, I've posted pictures to show like, this is what, like, look at what you're comparing. This was a racial ethnic cleansing yeah. that was done by these
can
people,
I make
not
a,
discrimination.
Can I make an actual comparison to Hitler? Pol Pot was a bit like Hitler. Like, in other words, they killed over 2.33 million Cambodians.
Okay, yes.
So in other words, it was the same plan. It was the same idea, just get rid of this whole race of people. You know what I mean? A lot, big numbers, ruthless. So if you're going to compare, there's a comparison. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't compare one element of something that has a million elements to say it's comparable by one element of a million and things like that. So it's really concerning to me, you know, this whole thing.
Jeff, is there anything that you don't do because, is there anything you avoid because of, like, we were talking cancel culture, like Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, I don't talk, like, I don't know. There's stuff on my first album that I don't talk about. I really wouldn't now, but you people learn, you know, what's acceptable or not. But when I was doing the jokes, like, for example, I used to do a bit about a gay ghost. And I would say, I can't remember the whole bit, but it was basically, how do you know it's a gay ghost? Because the gay ghost will always jump out of the closet to scare you. So that was the joke. I can't really do that now in good conscience. I just like, I don't know. Yeah. I just try to stay away from stuff that's going to make people mad. Like I've said dumb shit.
So you're not going to
over
do that?
The last 20 years that I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
So,
but you know,
under the umbrella of comedy.
So if somebody comes back at you and says that, how insensitive it was. Here, the problem is that judging of somebody from years ago, you know, it's this thing about judging somebody's wisdom with current knowledge. You know, this is the problem. This is the doom that humanity is facing when you actually judge the actions of decades ago with the wisdom.
Yeah, it's like the Jim Jeffries bit. Have you heard that?
Which one?
the new Jim Jeffries bit. He's talking about how. He's, again, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm probably going to mess it up. But the point is, he's like, you can't get mad at me for a joke I said 10 years ago because you told me where the line was and I went up to the line. I didn't cross it, but I went up to it. Now, 10 years later, that's over the line. But you can't get mad at me for then because that's where the line was. You can move the line. You tell me where the line is and I'll go up to it. But you can't get mad at me for something 10 years ago that wasn't over the line.
Exactly. My wife could probably, I don't know, she'd probably get mad at me for masturbating in the closet, but when I used to do it when I was 12 to hide from my mom. But now if I do it, it would look a little weird. Speaking of weird, TikTok.
Well, that's where she keeps her shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Why did my foot get stuck in here? The TikTok challenge, the Gorilla Glue woman. I mean, this is, you know, this is the thing. you know, again, this is Darwinian, right? This is like, you know, first of all, there's way too many people on this earth. And you know, the more they get rid of each other themselves, the better. That's why I said the person who thinks the vaccine is, then don't take it. You know what I mean? Then that's your decision. God will, you make your own decision. Yeah. The biggest problem I have in life is Trump, somebody telling me you're judging my decisions. Decisions are hard enough to make in the fucking first place in life. And it's the difference between success and failure is that decision. And not everybody's successful. So with those odds, you got to say people probably make a lot of bad decisions. You know, it's where you go from those decisions, right, that determine our fucking altitude in life. Don't want to make this into a Tony Robbins fucking meeting. But my, you know, so now I'm going to put Gorilla Glue in my hair because I ran out of product, you know, and this is it seems like a good idea. And now we got another kid who says, you know what, I got to top that. I need notoriety. I need likes. I need this. So what does this other kid do? He gets the Gorilla Glue and glues a red cup to his lips. He thinks, oh, I'll just be able to lick. This is what the guy says. I'll just be able to lick it off.
Mm.
That's what happens when you
the
don't.
Stupidity it runs rampant.
I mean, come on. You know. And you want to be controversial. Let me say this. When you see the actions of a lot of these fucking kids today, it doesn't surprise me at all why there's shootings in schools. You know what I mean?
I don't think that was a kid. That was a guy.
What?
The guy that glued the red Solo cup to his lip, that was a grown man.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and he's the one that, did the licking ice cream in public?
He did that as well.
Is that the same guy? Yeah. Like, yeah, he did say, he's like, I can just lick it off. Like, what makes your saliva different from all of ours? I've seen the commercials for Gorilla Glue. That shit's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. There's a big gorilla in everything.
If I was the general counsel for Gorilla Glue, instead of going to court with these people, which they're going to try to do, I would offer them endorsements and do a 30-second commercial on. There's a lot that Gorilla Glue can do, but these are the things that you don't want to do with Gorilla Glue.
Yeah. You don't
give them an endorsement, and pay them money, and get them out of your hair.
Yeah, I ran out of Vaseline, so I thought I'd use the Gorilla Glue as a lubricant.
I saw that.
You know, nuts.
I knew somebody used hair conditioner. That's all I got. The end.
I'm silence. I'm itching just hearing about it.
They didn't have lube. They used hair conditioner. And I'm like, I think that's external use only. I don't think that's.
Yeah. And there's a nice sheen to his cock now. Well, that was one of my old dirtier jokes. They said I'm so sensitive I started using Sensodyne toothpaste to masturbate. My penis hasn't had cavities in months. My testicles are free of tartar, and my wife's breath minty fresh.
Look at that! Huh?
It's a silly joke. It's a lowbrow joke, but it's well structured. That's what
it's
I
lowbrow
always
but highbrow at the same time.
Yeah, it's just a mix.
It's a lowbrow highbrow.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those. We were going to talk about this. New York Cuomo's got to go. I mean, come on. We talked about this double standard for things, right? I don't know if you follow the story of Cuomo. They hid the numbers. They try to change the numbers of the deaths. I was reminded of a woman who got into it with me on Facebook about this. She goes, I work for the healthcare services, and he did everything by the book. I'm like, are you fucking high? I go, you know, it's obvious even back then when it was happening, it was a wrong move. And now they try to cover it up and stuff like that. If it was DeSantis, well, they try to bury DeSantis here in Florida, too.
That guy's a nut.
DeSantis? Oh, he's going to run for
president.
He's going to run for president.
He's going to run for what?
The people are saying, there's already whispers he wants to run for president.
Yeah. More power to him. George Wallace ran too, so.
Well, what's it? You in Indianapolis?
I'm in Columbus, Indiana. Indiana. I tell you Indianapolis because it's easier.
Yeah. Who's the governor of Indianapolis? Or Indiana, I should
Indiana.
Say.
The governor, Eric Holcomb.
Yeah, the governor of Indianapolis is some guy that hangs out by an elevator at a strip club. he calls himself the governor of Indianapolis. Is he Republican, Democrat?
he's a Republican. I yeah. actually really like him. Like, he's done some good.
Yeah.
I mean,
have you guys stayed open though? Have you guys been like open? Have you guys, you know, been, or you been one of these sits?
We've been like a half capacity or a little bit less than half capacity on places. And, they people seem to be making it work. I mean, we're slowly kind of getting open. We're like, you can eat in restaurants again. And again, it's like half capacity or something, but you know,
here it's great.
I don't know. It's a weird thing because you can walk in with your mask, and I'm a mask wearer. I mean, you tell me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. I don't give a shit. But to me, it's weird that you get to your seat and you take it off. I get you have to take it off. I was standing over there and had it on, and now I'm sitting over here.
Yeah, each bite. Right? See, whenever you take a bite of the meatballs and spaghetti, you know, this meatballs and spaghetti kill the corona. You know, that's why I got to eat something spicy. You know, the CDC says eat something spicy and you'll be fine. Yeah, it's nuts, man. But listen, if it wasn't DeSantis as our governor, we would have had this guy who they found in a hotel with a gay porn star doing cocaine and meth. And, you know, he's bisexual and his wife didn't know about it. But that's a whole nother story. Cuomo's got to go to jail. In lieu of the 148 car accident in Texas... Jail. Advice from the road, right? You saw that big old pile up when the Texas got hit with that.
Yes, they actually canceled.
Six people die?
Oh, yeah.
They canceled the shows at Hyenas that night.
Because of all the accidents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Any advice on the road?
Yeah, I don't, in the wintertime, I don't drive at night. I'll drive in the daytime, but if there's any chance of snow, I'm a big pussy. I can't stand snow. I hate it with a passion. Like, I drove from one part of Iowa to another part of Iowa years ago, and it was in the daytime, but they had like a fresh 6 inches on the ground, and the plow, I was literally plowing the interstate with my car, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. And I'm like all tensed up. So I think I'm emotionally scarred from snow. So I try to avoid winter at all costs. So if you're driving, you know, to go make $200, you know, 4 hours away, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I'm going to fly to make $500. So, God bless me.
Well, you can sell merch, man. You can sell merch.
Yeah, and that's, you know, right. What? Those clubs are really good for merch, by the way.
Hell yeah, they are.
I made sure that I'm all packed up and everything, and good to go, as they say. And so, by the way, it's that time of the day, everybody. That's right. It's time for The News is a Joke. Brought to you by me. This is where we tell stories from around the world and all over the place and somehow make fun of them. And people make it easy. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Our first story. This is great. This is a great story. Seven-year-old boy is rescued after accidentally landing in a trash truck. I don't know if you got to read the story, but basically this kid...
Part of it.
Yes, kids do. They, you know, we want a fort. I want to hide. You know, I want to do something somebody probably told me I shouldn't do. Kid jumps into a trash bin. And moments later, just by the sake of timing, the trash bin collector with the truck comes and picks the fucking thing up. Now this kid's freaking out. Right, he even says he thought I was going to turn into a mashed potato or something. He's picturing he's going to be put through the strainer and all those horror films he's probably ever seen. If you're the 7 year old, what are you thinking when you're in there? Are you screaming like a bitch? What are you doing in that garage, that garbage?
Yeah, truck? I'm yelling. I should have stuck to the jungle gym. you don't. I mean, if any kid needs a jungle gym, it's this kid. You know, I knew a girl who fell off the jungle gym, broke her arm. I thought that was terrible, but she wasn't almost murdered.
Yeah,
get on a merry-go-round.
Well, yeah. I can clarify this. It'll make a lot more sense when I'm looking at the article. And this was in Florida.
Yeah,
so that explains. That's all I got to say is that
I get it.
This happened in Florida.
Secret message received.
Elias Casada, 7, was playing outside his grandmother's home in Hillsborough County when he decided to climb into her trash can. And what kid doesn't? The family told NBC News that he soon was scooped up and dumped into the sanitation truck. By the grace of God, they have cameras nowadays. Now, if we were 13, they wouldn't have had cameras back then.
No.
And we would have been munched up.
Yeah, what happens? So, what happens once the truck, like, it?
Well, it goes to the main part, and there's cameras on it, and they were basically watching the trucks, and they saw the kid, you know, sliding into the fucking thing.
Wait, how was that again? Now, wait, I got a question. This kid gets in a trash can. Was this a new trash can, or was this a previously been used for a while trash can? Because don't trash cans typically smell pretty bad? Is this kid, does he have COVID because he can't smell? I wouldn't be getting a trash can.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't ever know if being 7 years old where I ever went, oh, that smells like shit. I'm not going over there. You know, the kid's seven. He isn't 19 years old trying to get laid at a fucking prom. He doesn't give a shit. But who knows? Maybe the people keep their trash cans very clean at that house. You know what I mean?
I'm looking.
We have the cans now that look like little Hummers. They're these big ass ones that the trucks pick up, right? And I can fit in it. A 7 year old can fit. I could fit in mine. I can tell you that right now. So, good for the kid, right?
Yeah.
Now this story,
he's okay,
this,
right?
Now this poor girl didn't make it. Our next story, Arkansas farmer, which you know right there. I just tried to forget about killing and molesting a nurse. That's the quote. This guy, gets in his truck. I think he's going to go check seeds and I forgot what he was saying. He was doing rice seeds or something. He went to go check. And he was driving down a dirt road, and this girl's walking down a dirt road. And girls, if we've ever told you once or twice, never fucking walk down dirt roads. I don't care where you're at. You don't walk down the dirt road.
There's been a lot of songs about that.
But he was trying to forget about killing and molesting a nurse.
Yeah, this guy.
How else do you expect him to cope with those emotions?
He's driving. He supposedly went to school with the girl even. He even went to school, whether he recognized her from behind. It's a small town, I guess. He may have. He's driving, and then for some reason, he says what he did was he turned around and he ran over her. And then when he looked back, there was so much dust and shit, he couldn't tell how bad she was hurt. Who could?
Oh, God.
I mean, the fact that you turned around and then ran over somebody again. So then he picked her up, didn't call 911, threw her in the back of the truck and figured, all right, I'll take care of this.
Wait.
And then
I guess I missed that story.
Yeah, well, he's a married stepfather of three. And how those kids? Oh, I wonder. I'd like to meet those kids. So he ran over her. Figures.
Well, she was jogging.
Yeah,
and she was out for a jog.
Yeah, and he hit her and ran her over, threw her in the back of the truck, and then he figured, okay, you know what? She's probably dead. Let me go dig a hole. Pulls the truck over, digs a big hole. And while he's taking her out of the truck, he goes, wow, she's got nice tits. And then he figures, I'm taking her shirt off. What did he say? He goes, I tried messing with her.
Yeah, I like that quote. I tried messing with her a bit.
I tried messing with her a bit. She wasn't very responsive.
Yeah.
She was playing hard to get back alive. But
did he also end every sentence with, I say? Is that?
No, he goes, Remember that from Sling Blee? I just tried to mess with her a little bit.
I like my victims with some mustard on it, and that's about it.
It was great at the end of the story because they told that the guy's wife then left him, of course, which, what are you going to do? Yeah, thank God, because sometimes you hear these stories.
Well, she's not going to stand by her man after that.
No. Stand by your man. Till he runs over a girl jogging and then tries to fuck her in the back of his truck. Mm-hmm. So that's a he's a fucking weirdo.
So
good, he's in jail. And his wife left him. This was a story that came out, and I just got an update. Florida man, 48-year-old Florida man, steals his fiancée's engagement ring. And he goes and offers it to another girl he met. Now, there's a player.
Wait, I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
Was he with the other woman too at the same time?
He's a player. He's dating them both. He met them both on OKCupid.
I mean, there you go. This is in Volusia County. So, yeah. I mean, there's like DeBerry, DeLand, yeah, and Orange City.
He's a good-looking dude. Bald guy, good-looking brother, looks in shape. You know, he's got a couple girls. I remember those days. And, you know, he goes to her house, his fiance's house with his other girl. And he says, oh, this is my house. You know, maybe I can have you move in sometime. And then he goes in there and he shows around the house and he steals, not only that, this is the funny part too. She stole the engagement ring that I guess she got from a previous marriage or engagement that was her grandmother's. Also, another diamond and some other jewelry and all kinds of other shit amounting to $6,800. Now, if you had an engagement ring amongst another diamond and another jewelry and the total was $6,800, this is not a grand theft. There are some Cuban zirconians in that goddamn pile of shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is the problem. Like, this guy just made a decision and he got caught. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he got caught with all the other things. He got caught and he don't seem to give a shit. He don't give a shit.
Yeah, either way, it's going to be a shotgun marriage. Somebody's going to be holding a shotgun. It's a cheap jewelry, but it's a dick move. I mean, that sounds like a playbook from Warren Jeffs, and he's in jail.
Yeah, so, and then he told the girls, like, let's move in together. I'll have you move into this is my place. You can move in with me. And then she got all her shit ready to move, and he's like, oh, sorry, it fell through. I didn't. The financing.
I don't know. Think about how many women take their ex-husband's houses and then move someone else into it.
Listen, it's believable, right? You know, I had a buddy.
You'll see.
I had a buddy of mine that said the same. He used to tell people, I have a roommate. My roommate's my parents. and it was weird. Like when my wife and I first met, you know, I was taking care of my parents in a sense. So, you know, it's like we met. I'm like, no, I don't live with my parents. My parents kind of live with me. You know what I mean? To be honest. All right, this is my next story. Is teens with AR-15 try carjacking a man, but he thinks it's a toy gun and says, fuck off, peckers. This is a great story because young kids, you know, teenagers, go up to the guy, we're going to take your car. They try to carjack the guy, and the guy's like, fuck, you know, like, I don't have time for this shit. And I guess at that moment,
That's an American story.
Yeah, I guess at that moment, he's very lucky that these really weren't, like, real criminals. Like, these guys are going to probably end up being chemical engineers. You know, they're going to wake up at one point and realize. I mean, I hold people at their highest level. I really do. I believe people could be the best they are, and when they fuck up, I'll also be the person that... See that, right? Do you think that's a good consistency? Like, I believe people could be the best they can be. Like, I hope for that. But when they fuck up, I'll say, hey, man. You fucked up. You know what I mean? You know, right? I put you here. You're here. That concerns me. You know what I mean?
But what if their goal is to be the best criminal? Well, I mean...
Well, then we hire them for the FBI and the CIA. But these kids are not good criminals. I mean, I don't think they're very bright. If I'm going to carjack somebody, I'm not going to bring an AR-15 to carjack somebody. It's too big. You need something small that you can kind of get up close to someone, hold it against their stomach, give me your keys. I can't sneak up on you with an AR-15. These kids are idiots.
That's a great point. Not only that.
I'm afraid you've thought this through too much. I just feel like you've got something written down in a journal. Girl, we need to be taking a look at.
I may or may not have a manifesto.
Jen. Listen, Jen's not. Jen's carjacked a few people.
I've been carjacked. Yeah. I did. I got held up at gunpoint in a Target parking lot. And ready for this kicker? They couldn't take my car. They got in because they didn't know how to drive stick shift. They didn't know to push in the clutch. And then they had to get out of my car and run into their friend's car and take off. That's funny. I got my purse back.
Oh, thank God.
That's awesome.
Good story.
The other funny part about the story, you're right, because the choice of gun may have been bad. Because if you're going to go with an AR-15, you definitely want your getaway vehicle to be a scooter. Because that's how they got caught.
Oh, is that what you're right. They took off on a scooter. Yeah, these are amateurs.
The police get a call about somebody being accosted with an AR-15 in the parking lot. And here comes Sam and Bill driving down on their scooter.
Like a razor scooter? Or like they're not kicking their leg out.
Push, kick, push, kick.
Let's go see if
we can. I mean, that's a bitch to hold on to that AR-15 and kick at the same time.
Yeah, it's your turn to hold the gun, Bill. God, I don't want to hold
the
gun.
What are these idiots? What are they, Gen Y? What are they considered? Gen Y? What's the generation now?
I don't know. Gen fucked up. Gen never going to make it.
Gen idiots.
That's a fucking great story. Beverly Hills, I love this story. Well, I love it because it's Beverly Hills police are playing Beatles songs to avoid being filmed on Instagram, activist claims. You know, I guess that's a pretty smart idea. Like if somebody forget about the police, but if somebody's trying to video you, right? And when you're in the middle of something and you see the person with the camera, just break out a Beatles tune, you know, because the minute it starts airing on live, it'll cut it off and say it's a copyright infringement.
Oh,
yeah, but as soon as it runs out, they're all about 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
You get a new one. You got to start a new one up.
You got to keep going. Hold on a second. Yeah, we all live in a yellow submarine. A yellow. Listen, if I don't have any news, I'm going to just start singing the song as much as I could.
I think it's a good idea because how many situations could be de-escalated by Norwegian Wood or In My Life? I mean, all that stuff's so soothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like somebody's going to get a domestic dispute happens like, oh my God, I'm going to stop because this is a great song.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop that. Hey, Jude.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody's getting killed. The strawberry fields are forever.
Right. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
I love it.
As long as you're not playing, I'm down. I'm down, down. I think, you know, and again, the activist is upset because it feel like they're not being able to watch the police. You know what I mean? And, boy, let's hear it for all those cities who want to defund the police and how big of a shithole those states are turning into. yeah, crime, unbelievable. People said, no, it's going to work. Good luck. This is the greatest story. I love UFOs. You believe in UFOs, Jeff?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. I do.
I've been looking at the skies forever, man. Ever since I remember, I being saw a kid. One. Yeah, I remember being a kid. I look up and just to wait to see that goddamn UFO fly across the sky. But stunning admission: Pentagon admits that it has been testing wreckage from UFO crashes, and findings may change our lives forever.
So, I think it already has.
That's what
they
said.
I mean, look at the air fryer. I mean, that we have the air fryer now. That had to come from UFO technology.
And they say the boner pill came from that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It's all magnets.
The researcher, Anthony Braglia, wrote the Defense Intelligence Agency requesting details of all UFO materials. And it seems they came up with one material. It's called nitinol. Nitinol is a new element they have found. They have it. It's like a very lightweight aluminum that always finds its way back to its original shape. You can bend it.
I've heard about that.
You can move it. You can do all the shit, and it'll always go back to the whatever the fuck it was. And I probably might need that.
That was. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No.
No, I was gonna say no joke, but like that when Roswell happened, that one of the witnesses who was the son of one of the investigators. The investigator brought home a piece of it, and the son talked about he was playing with it, and it was the exact thing what you just described.
Yeah.
It was metal that would go back to its original shape.
Do you think the kid rubbed it on his dick?
Of course.
Had to have. Had to have.
What kid wouldn't have? I mean, you know,
it's in the closet.
I mean, doesn't everything guys ever come across in their life at least go, I wonder what this will do to my dick?
Well, this is that lowbrow of me? Is the sci-fi of the UFO highbrow enough that I could bring the lowbrow of rubbing against my... Because, I mean, that'd be the question.
Absolutely.
If I had a news station, that would have been my question as the journalist that went out on Studio 51. It's Area 51. That was a different story. I went to Studio 51. And Area 51.
All those aliens are coked up at Studio 51.
Yeah, they crashed because all the fucking disco lights in the disco ball got them confused. God. But, you know, they say obviously the stealth fighters and all that shit, that material, that new fibrous, like metallic material that they've developed and all the things is great.
I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. And I just want a new iPhone. So hurry up and use that shit on my iPhone. Wouldn't that be great if your iPhone was made of that shit? You could turn it, you could, you know, and then fucking drop it on the ground.
And it just goes right back.
Speaking of advanced,
and you can teenagers can bend it in half and put it in their back pocket without it falling out.
There you go. Speaking of that kind of stuff, and we mentioned the Antichrist in that story earlier. You guys would be chipped. Would you ever put a chip in your body and never have to use your credit cards ever and any of that again?
Yeah, I don't care. That's fine. Yeah.
You'd be chipped?
Do what you need to do.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I'd like to keep up with that.
Jen, this, out of all the guests we've ever had on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, the first one to ever agree to get chipped is Jeff Bodart. All right, let me just make sure I get that.
If I ever get lost, I want to be found and returned to my parents or something, you know?
Now let me change your perspective on this. Let's say you have a chip in you, because also that chip is going to let them know where you are and what you're doing and all of those things, because it's a chip. And in order to have all the benefits of what the chip can do, it also has to, it's not for anything, track you.
It's with you.
And then
it's with you.
There's a mysterious crime. A farmer, I don't know, maybe beats up and rapes a woman running. A nurse.
And you just happen to be driving that day.
And
yourself.
You happen to be in that same place around the same time, seeing what nitinol does to your penis in the woods.
You rubbed it on your cock and it got really big. And you said, you know what? I need to go out and find some.
And now you're
girls.
Sitting in front of a jury of your peers. While who's left? Johnny Crocker, and is he dead? F. Lee Bailey,
he's
in jail. Where? But one of them.
Aaron Gershowitz.
Jose Baez. Is sitting in front of your jury of peers and going, but his chip tells us that he was right there when it happened. And we have a fuzzy picture of the farmer who, if you go and look at that article and look at the picture, it could be a fuzzy picture of you. I mean, he's got a darker beard and, he's crazy looking, but. Yeah.
And he's a fucking lunatic, but besides.
Anybody who knows me knows that I cannot farm. I don't know how to farm. I have an aversion to hard work. I don't know. I don't know that I would be out there. I would be out there looking around. You know, it's like, how much are you, lady? Come on over. I don't know. You know, I got to get the best. I don't know. I think I'd be okay. I think I'd be all right. You know, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't break the law.
Yeah. Right. That's my point. You don't break the law. Now you just got roped into a 2-year trial and your life is on the line and your future is now in the hands of a jury of your peers who think that you're racist because they also tracked your chip to a KKK meeting that takes place right next door to the art store that you go to. Happens.
Well, you get your special paper. Oddly enough, that's a special paper.
What do you? Yeah, I do have to get special paper. Not vellum. I gotta get smooth.
Your KKK
lady. Yeah, I gotta get.
Yeah,
that's. I gotta get the Bristol. We got the Strathmore. This is the king of all the paper.
Oddly enough, Jen's right because members of the alt-right and the Proud Boys use that same paper when they make flyers for their meetings. So.
And then Bank of America is going to show all of your, right? Bank of America went and shared without the permission of the bank of their bank holders.
I gotta be honest, I'm really worried what all you have written down. You have too much detail in this plan of yours. It's a 2-year trial. I'm probably representing myself, because nobody wants to come near the chip.
Well, here's the seriousness of it. We're almost chipped as it is. Our phone goes almost everywhere we are, so it's chipped. If it wanted to, it probably could hear us if it hasn't already. I refuse to get the Alexa or any of those fucking things in your house. I don't need help turning on the light switch. I don't need her. You know what I mean? I don't need help. My brother-in-law is techie. He's got all that shit. He's got the vacuum cleaner and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And he's like, turn the volume up, turn this. I'm like, just fucking do it. You know what I mean? It's like, that's part of the pleasure of being in my home. I get to walk over there and flip a switch. I don't know. Perhaps I'm such a Fred Flintstone.
I'm waiting for Alexa and Siri to get together, and then I can have some technology in the bedroom. Like, oh my God, I'm having a digital threesome. Siri and Alexa talking to each other.
Oh, Jeffrey. You can change Siri to have an accent and be like, oh, Jeffrey.
Yeah. I got the British one because I fucking love Mary Poppins.
Yeah. So, nothing says boner like an English woman's accent.
What is it? A spoonful of sugar helps the boner go down.
That's right. That's right.
Something like that.
I'm Mrs. Doubtfire, dear. I'm Mrs. Doubtfire, dear. Stop playing with your dick.
Speaking of playing with your dick, it says here, migraine orgasms work as well as drugs for curing migraines. So, you know, they're saying is if you had an orgasm, the pleasure that it causes can actually kind of less intensify or take the intensity of a migraine headache away, which you got to have an orgasm. So listen, guys don't get, we don't have headaches. We have orgasms. So the problem is that the women just don't have these orgasms.
No, it's a fact.
Is it
if you have a headache? No, I do. I know if you have a migraine and you have sex, it will relieve your migraine. But the key is to
I totally believe that.
Yeah. The key is to do it before it turns into like spots and nausea. Like, so the minute you feel the headache coming on, and actually the more sex you have, the more, less headaches.
What happens if the nausea and all that happens when you start having sex from the sex? Did you shave your balls?
Maybe you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yes.
What if two people have a migraine and then we're like, one of them is like, I could use a hug. And the other one's like, well, I would love to have sex to get rid of this migraine. The other person's like, you know, I really just wanted a hug. Somebody still has a migraine at the end of that thing. I mean, and they're insulted. I mean, they're not going to get.
That person is the reason why you're having a migraine.
You know what happens? You know what happens then? Then you go in the other room, you steal the engagement ring. And you go back to that chick you met, and you start asking how her head feels, and you feel much better about it.
Gotta have plan B.
You gotta have plan B. Well, that's important. If you do have the sex, then you have the plan B.
And it doesn't say that you have to have a partner-induced orgasm. I mean, you could just as easily just...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that
a pound of bacon.
It's just that easy. You know what I mean? But, well, what a good way to finish the show with a finishing... conversation about orgasms and how they cure migraine headaches. See, this
is this is how I finish actually sex. I mean, it's like we finished 50 minutes ago, and then we just spent the last 50 minutes talking.
Yeah.
So that's my finishing move.
Yeah, there you go. But hey, buddy, it's so good to see you, Jeff, and see you out there, and keep up your artwork. And I do appreciate your words of confidence in my trip tomorrow, my trek to Oklahoma.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, in the snow tundra. And when the plane is coming down and flying and about to crash in the ground, I'm going to sit there and go, why did Jeff lie to me? Why did Jeff? Because I'm not going to be thinking about my wife, my family. When the plane's going down, I'm going to be so busy going, that fucking guy told me I was going to be fine.
Oh, that's really nice. I would love to be the person you think about as you're going down.
Can you imagine?
That's great.
God. So special.
But of course, you're welcome. So at any rate, you got some things coming up you want to plug?
No, I got a couple gigs in April and I'm waiting to find out about some other stuff. So I don't know when to send the veils anymore. I don't know who's open.
Yeah, that's a weird.
So I don't have a, yeah, I don't know who to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who to talk to. So yeah, but I got a winery coming up in Castlefin Winery in Marshall, Illinois, April 24th. So that'll be good. I love that. I've been there 4 or 5 times before. It's a great club. They're a great winery.
Nice.
They do a show there.
Very nice.
And check out my art, everybody. Check out my art on the Facebook, Jeff Bodart Art and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
There you go.
Jen?
I actually am home until the middle of March, and then I'm heading to Philadelphia to the Raven. Did I just do that? The Raven Lounge.
Yeah.
And then it picks up again. March. We'll be busy here in March.
Very good. Like I said, I'll be at the Oklahoma City Loony Bin then in this week, next week, God willing, by the way, I'll be there. And of course, I'll be in Oklahoma Little Rock Loony Bin the week after. Got some dates and Groucho's coming up, but I'm real excited to be at the Laugh Factory hosting for Tom Rhodes in Vegas, March 25th to the 28th, I believe it is. So, B, if you're in Vegas, come and say hi. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Don't forget to follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter and on Instagram at Wake Up, the Wake Up Doug, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Join our fan page on Facebook to watch this live and all that good shit. And our YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube. We get like 18 people. So, you know, at this pace, we'll probably have 100 people by the time, you know, somebody runs me over in a truck and tries to bang me. I think. But at any rate, we appreciate that, guys. And so we'll bring this back. Chris, when you're around, buddy, we like to say goodbye to our fans. Please check us out all over the place. You know, do what you can.
Absolutely. And we appreciate those likes, shares, and comments. They do help us go a long way.
There you go. There will not be a show next week because I'll be on the road or maybe plastered to a airport runway in Houston or in Oklahoma City. But no show next week. We'll be back the first Tuesday of March. Thanks for seeing us, guys. God bless. And we'll see you next time right here at the same spot. Take care.
Wake up! Wake up.